Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
There hasn't been enough transparency, letting people know what's happening. It's allowing a lot of potentially misinformation to spread, or at least fear. We should know what's going on over our skies, and I've asked for a lot more information.
Yeah, we've all asked for a lot more information. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. You've had Marjorie Taylor Greene and Cory Booker both pretty much asking the same question, and that is, everybody tells us there's nothing to worry about here, but nobody can really tell us what it is that's flying over the East Coast in the form of drones right now. Glad you're with us on this Friday morning. We're going to get to Jim Carafano coming up here shortly from the Heritage Foundation. But right now, I want to get to Madeline Rivera with Fox News, who's actually reporting this morning from outside the White House. Madeline, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning to you guys. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to have you on here this morning. Apologize for my voice being a little rough from this cold that I'm fighting.
All good. It's early, too. All good. Yes, it is.
So, you know, I listened to the Pentagon say there's nothing to worry about. I listened to Admiral Kirby say we can't even verify that these things are up there, but yet we've all seen the video of it. What are they saying this morning?
Well, I think that's where the frustration from where a lot of lawmakers and residents, that's why they're so frustrated, because there's so many lack of answers here. So basically, what the FBI and DHS, what they're saying is that based on the analysis that they've done so far of the images that people have taken, the photos and the videos that people have taken, they say that they have no evidence at this point that these drone sightings are of foreign origin or that they are criminal in nature. In fact, they say a lot of the drone sightings that people have seen so far, they actually are of manned aircraft. When you talk to a National Security Council spokesperson, John Kirby, he's echoing the same sentiment. He's echoing the same analysis. But he also says, and here's the interesting part, he also says for sure, he can't say for sure definitively what these drone sightings are. He also says that the government doesn't have its own imagery of these drone sightings. So what they're analyzing, again, are those images and photos that people are taking. So, you know, there are so many gaps here, so much lack of information, and that's why so many lawmakers and people are so frustrated.
Yeah.
Well, the manned aircraft thing, the theory doesn't make sense to me, because first, why would they be trailing a Coast Guard boat going over military areas? Wouldn't that be concerning? And second of all, if these are manned aircrafts, wouldn't they be monitored by air traffic control? Wouldn't they have these planes on the radar? Why would they just be flying around basically in circles for about a month?
you know, unfortunately, we just don't have the answers to that. But I, you know, have the same questions when it comes to the concerns regarding these reported drone sightings being seen near critical infrastructure, again, like military bases or airports. That's why a lot of lawmakers say they want transparency, because this could pose a national security risk. I mean, we all remember the Chinese spy balloon last year, you know, so they don't want the government to have not necessarily the same mistake, but treat it with the same sort of, maybe for lack of a better term at this point, leniency or lackadaisical approach. So, you know, they don't want a repeat of that. So, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot that lawmakers are saying, or rather the federal government is saying regarding the sightings of these drones, reported drones, by military bases and other critical infrastructure. But it is something that they'll be looking into for sure.
No kidding. Madeline Rivera joining us this morning from Fox News from the lawn of the White House. Any indication, any reaction from the incoming Trump administration? Because you kind of get the impression if somebody different was in charge, maybe more would be done.
Yeah, no, we haven't heard so much from President-elect Trump regarding this issue just yet. You know, I guess to expand a little bit on what the administration's response is regarding this, regarding those national security concerns, you have one lawmaker, U.S. Senator Rick Blumenthal from Connecticut. He wants these drones to be shot down if they do, in fact, pose a national security risk. And John Kirby is saying that if these drones, if somehow something's changed and somehow these drones are identified to have some sort of, again, national security threat or public safety threat, then he says that he's sure that the president would issue the appropriate instructions to local law enforcement or the military. But we'll have to see, you know, so much we don't know.
See what happens. Madeline Rivera, thank you for giving me a few minutes this
morning. You got it. Of course, you got it.
Yep, take care of yourself. We appreciate that. When I saw them reporting from the White House, I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's something new this morning. But clearly, there's not. I just don't know how our national security, how confident we should be in these national security officials who want to tell me, well, we haven't even actually seen one yet. We've only seen the video.
Do you think the response from the federal government would be different if they saw these drones, these manned aircrafts, whatever you want to call them, were, say, flying over Washington, D.C.?
I'll bet.
Because right now they've been spotted in New Jersey and Connecticut. And yes, that's, I guess, relatively close, but not quite close enough, it seems, for them to be panicking. I think things would be changing very quickly if all of a sudden they were flying over, you know, the White House or something like that.
Well, there are different air restrictions over Washington, D.C. because of the nature
security.
Of the government, security.
Right.
But given the fact that, and I can't wait to get Jim Carafano on the phone here in a few minutes, given the fact that we don't know what they are. If something is to happen, can you imagine the blowback on it? I mean, that's why I would think they would be a little more motivated to get their hands on one of these, which shouldn't be too difficult in the end anyway. I do want to play what they said yesterday, what Kirby said, Admiral Kirby said about this. Go to cut five, Carl, please.
The United States Coast Guard is providing support to the state of New Jersey and has confirmed that there is no evidence of any foreign-based involvement from coastal vessels. And importantly, there are no reported or confirmed drone sightings in any restricted airspace. Now, that said, we certainly take seriously the threat that can be posed by unmanned aircraft systems, which is why law enforcement and other agencies continue to support New Jersey and investigate the reports, even though they have uncovered no malicious activity or intent at this particular stage. While there is no known malicious activity occurring, the reported sightings there do, however, highlight a gap in authorities.
You just wait till illegal drone czar Tom Homan gets to Washington, D.C. It's over, baby. He'll climb up there and grab him himself.
Has he responded to this?
Who?
On X, Tom Homan?
Homan, I don't know. I he's kind of been focused. He was in New York this week meeting with Mayor Adams. And boy, Adams is all on board now. Have you noticed this?
Oh, I know. He's all about, you know, I'm not going to be a sanctuary city. We got to deport these people. I'm going to work with the Trump administration.
It's just so weird how he was Hitler 6 weeks ago. Donald Trump was Hitler. And now Meta has put $1 million toward his inauguration.
So was Amazon.
Amazon.
They want to be in good graces. And do you think, obviously money speaks, but do you think that will be enough for Trump to say, you know what?
No.
Thank you so much for your kind donation. I'm not going to be, you know, trying to put new restrictions on you guys.
I don't think it's going to work with Trump, but it just shows you how the game is played in D.C. It's a similar game that's played in Jeff City, right? There's lobbyists everywhere who are looking to seek favor of some sort with someone to influence policy.
Look what happens in the Missouri legislature. Well, that is awful, the way they were able to do that with Amendment 3 and the impact that that has, not only here on abortion access in the state, but other issues that impact all of us, our daily lives.
Yeah, new sheriff in town for sure in D.C., and you can tell from the indications of which way the money is now flowing, no doubt about it. All right, coming up, we will get to Jim Carafano, a national security expert from the Heritage Foundation, and get his take on the whole thing. A little later in the show, we're going to talk to Beavis Shock as well. Beavis has been looking into the legality of appointing the next prosecutor for St. Louis County. Is it the state or is it the county executive that gets to do that? We'll kick that around about 8:35. Stay tuned. I know the man with the answers. His name is Jim Carafano from Heritage. Jim, good morning.
I can't hear you. No.
You probably can't. I sound like a frog. Sorry about that. How you doing?
No, it's good. No, you're going to ask me about drones, and I don't have good answers for you, but go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm just, from a national security perspective, how can we be comfortable saying we're not quite sure what they are, but there's nothing to be afraid of?
Yeah, I think that's a completely non-credible answer. I'd be honest with you, I have the same information you do, and just listening to this stuff, I don't really have good answers on what this is. It could be anything, really. But the first thought that jumped into my head was, these are the guys that were had to be surveying PTA meetings and chasing down people standing out because they might be, praying in their heads, or helping illegal aliens in other countries. I mean, we created the Department of Homeland Security. We have an FBI that after 9/11 said, our mission is to protect the American people. That's our primary job. And they have so drifted from these things the last 4 years. Drones flying over American airspace, that potentially would have malicious activity. It was such a predictable problem that we've been talking about for 20 years. I'm just gobsmacked that we have a U.S. government which looks completely inept. But I'm just not surprised after 4 years of demobilizing, diverting, divesting the instruments that we built after 9/11 specifically to deal with emerging challenges to the U.S. To do anything but their day job. That's the first thought that came into my head.
Yeah. You and I are on the same page there. I've marveled that they haven't been more concerned about it, but maybe there's nothing to it. Maybe it's just Amazon running a test of their new delivery system. Really?
Because Amazon, it would make sense that Amazon would then be trailing one of the Coast Guard boats, right, and flying over military areas. They probably ordered some stuff, and they wanted to drop it on the boat itself.
Maybe it's Santa. Maybe Santa's trying a new delivery system this year.
As an analyst, the one thing I never, we've known each other for many, many years, and we've talked about all kinds of issues. And through the years, the one thing I've never done is lie, make something up, or just, if I don't know, don't know. And the answer is I just don't know. I mean, it could be anything from something completely innocuous to, there's something nefarious. But like I said, I'm just deeply concerned that the instruments of the United States that were built the last, 20 plus years to deal with stuff that we knew was going to happen exactly like this have been doing anything but, Seb Gorka is an old, very, very dear friend of mine. We've known each other for decades. He was named to the National Security Council, And I was talking to, actually I was talking to his wife, and she was saying, well, you know, he did this before, he got all, you know, attacked for being in the White House. And she goes, on the one hand, I thought, well, okay, at least it'll be a sleepy job. I don't think that's going to be a sleepy job.
No.
I between what's going on in the Middle East and the southern border stuff and what and how wide open Biden has made us the last 4 years, I am worried about people doing things in the United States against us. And so when I hear reports like this, my inclination is, I mean, I don't know, but my inclination is not to say, ah, don't worry about it. You know, go back to Walmart and, you know, buy more Christmas gifts. my impulse is to say the U.S. government ought to be able to speak to the American people with credibility, and they can't do that.
Jim, I have to ask you about what you think the ripple effect will be now that Bashar al-Assad has been basically forced out as president of Syria, goes to Russia. A bunch of people have been freed from prisons, including a Missouri guy.
Well, the first thing I would say is the good news is that, you know, unlike Afghanistan, you know, Syria is not at the end of the earth. I mean, we saw the eruption of a major terrorist empire spill out of Syria under Obama. I don't think that's likely to happen again because everybody's watching this, and lots of people have an interest in this not happening again. So, and of course, when Trump comes in, he won't tolerate this at all. So here's the thing I've been telling people. This is what you want to watch out for. The Turks have some very significant interests in this region. The Israelis do. If they can actually, between them, even though they say, you know, mean things about each other all the time, if they can kind of reach a common understanding of for safeguarding both their interests in the region, that's going to be good for the United States and good for the rest of us, because I think that will, at least in the short term, until we see how it settle out, pretty much be good for the U.S. If Trump's right when he said we don't have a dog in this fight, because we really don't, but we don't want bad things to come out of that. And the best way for that to start is for the Israelis and Turks to say, you know what, we can protect our national interests here, you can protect yours. That's, I think, what prevents the next ISIS empire. But like I said, my number one New Year's fear is the resurgence of global terrorism, because we've so let down our guard the last 4 years.
Jim Carafano with us from Heritage. You got about a minute left. Do you think that we're going to see a Iranian hostage type situation here with the hostages and Hamas before Donald Trump takes office?
I think that's a real possibility. The world is so dramatically. I had a laugh when Biden and Sullivan were saying, "Oh, look, what a great job we've done in the Middle East. Iran's on its heels. You know, Hamas has been hurt." I mean, this is nonsense. Of course, these guys ran wild. It's like giving the kids matches and tell them to go play in the garage, and the garage bird's daddy go, "Look what a great job I'm doing revitalizing the neighborhood." Hamas doesn't have any cards left to play, and I could certainly see a situation where somebody's just going to say, look, for survival's sake, we need to kind of deal with it. So I think that's it's a possibility.
Jim, appreciate your thoughts, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You got it. Get better soon, friend.
Yeah, thank you. We'll talk soon. Yep. Yeah. JJ Carafano there with Heritage. I mean, even Jim doesn't know what the hell's going on. So that just shows you how incompetent our current government is. Hopefully we can get Doge on this pretty quickly. Sounds like it. Anyway. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to... Did you see all of the charges they've been putting on credit cards in the St. Louis Public Schools while the kids don't get educated at the same time? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned. So if you're just joining us this morning, we did have the breaking news a bit earlier on the story with Colin Brown, the CBC hockey player. I've noticed Fox 2 is really the only local station that's reporting on this at all, and their headline simply says there may be a break in the case. I can confirm that there is a break in the case. They've got a couple of people in custody, and they believe they were involved in the shootout that led to Colin Brown's death. Some great police work that happened here, according to the version of the stories that I've been told by several sources now. The more details are going to come out on that. St. Louis police are not confirming much at this point, other than to say the investigation is moving along. But I've been told that the feds will be involved in this as well. So the people responsible for the death of this young man will face serious charges and probably serious jail time if they're convicted of it.
I was just so surprised that this happened on I-55 near Loughborough, and thinking that there weren't a bunch of witnesses, or maybe there were and we just haven't heard about it. But you'd think when you're driving on a main interstate that you would have had people who would have seen this happen. I'm not saying that that necessarily means that you're going to find the person, the suspect, and arrest them quickly.
Right.
I just was surprised we didn't hear a lot about that.
I guess maybe time of night. I mean, I understand maybe there is some video that exists. I don't know what that means in terms of somebody getting that reward. I think there's probably $25,000 or $35,000 reward money put up. But it was good detective work that broke this case, and more details will come out about that. And it's really pretty amazing. I wish I could tell you more about it. I'm not at liberty to tell you more about it right now, but yeah, when the truth comes out, you'll be pretty amazed. It's like an episode of Blue Bloods or CEI or something with a little bit of drama involved. But thank God that somebody's going to be held responsible, because there was a fear for a while, because of where this happened and how it happened, that if there was just two criminals involved shooting at each other, they weren't going to end up being able to catch either one of them.
These gun battles that we've seen play out on Missouri interstates, across the country, obviously, but in particular here in the St. Louis area, just anger me so much. We saw this happen. She was a woman, actually, who went to the church I used to go to. This happened to her when she was driving on 170, caught in the crosshairs of some gun battle over probably something so stupid, shot in the head and died.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, more details may come out on this today. We'll just stay tuned, and we'll have them for you right here on 97.1 FM Talk. In the meantime, I wanted to talk about the story that also broke yesterday about the St. Louis Public Schools. So they've suspended all district-issued credit cards. And you know, this is a school district that doesn't have a lot to brag about. I'm not saying there aren't good people that work there, but test scores are horrible. Most people who live in the city and can afford it send their kids to parochial or private schools, let's face it, leaving the ones that can't afford it trapped, which is why when we talk about school choice, this is a perfect example of it. If the people that suffer the most because we can't get our legislators to give us true vouchers are the people that are trapped economically and can't afford to move to a bigger house in a school district that's got better schools. So their kids are forced, if they can't afford a parochial school or a private school, they're forced to send them into situations like this. In the meantime, you've got people at the top who are clearly misappropriating funds that could have been used to try to improve those test scores. I don't know. I'm not saying I have the answer as to how they could have done that for sure. But in this case, they don't even know where all the credit cards are. They said staffers spent $1.6 million during the one-year term of the ex-superintendent Keisha Scarlett, who is now left town, right? Airline upgrades, luxury hotels, restaurants from Hawaii to Georgia, indications of multiple violations of the district's travel policy. This is from the Post-Dispatch article, including airline tickets for family members of staff. And charges at adult establishments, including Hooters in Columbia for $700, the Up Bar in St. Louis for $700, and Dick's Last Resort in Dallas for $540.
It's insane that all of this happened in such a short amount of time. What I'm seeing, too, is the district says, this audit found, rather, that before Keisha Scarlett became the superintendent, SLPS had three district-issued credit cards, and then under her leadership, there were charges on 21 credit cards.
Three visits to Topgolf for $6,740, hotel rooms costing $12,000 over 2 weeks in March and April at the Stony Creek Inn in Columbia, Margaritaville and Osage Beach, and the Holiday Inn in South Carolina.
I certainly hope that she's not hired by another school district.
Yeah,
because it sounds like she would just lead them the same way that she's led St. Louis Public Schools.
Tends to be how it happens in the education business, unfortunately. You know, yesterday, I was glad he got him on. Steve Butts is a Democrat state representative. He's a regular on the Reardon Roundtable. Reardon had him on yesterday. I'm sure they'll be talking about it again this afternoon. But he's reached out to Gabe Gore and said, you've got to investigate this now that we have these results, and you've got to make sure somebody's held accountable. Listen.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoops, hold on, Carl. Helps if I have my audio on over here. Here we go.
So I wrote Gabe Gore today, and I sent a letter to the SLPS school board today, and I just said, as a circuit attorney, you've got to look into this. I mean, Mark, Sue, we all know, if this would be one of us or some, punk from the city or a kid from rural Missouri, and you steal a couple $1,000, you know the kind of trouble those kids get into. This is $80,000 in a year. And I'm like, I don't believe you just started malfeasance like this.
Oh, no, for the first time when you
turn 50, right? There's no way. I mean, this is beyond belief. And we've shot ourselves in the foot way too many times in the city. We just can't keep taking these body blows that make us look like we can't run anything.
Yeah.
Mark, Kimberly on Facebook is saying, so at what point will there be a criminal prosecution over the money and failures?
Which I think is Steve's point there. Steve Butts is calling for that for sure. And there needs to be. And then you need to find out where Keisha Scarlett has ended up, landed, because the buck stops with her. If this wasn't happening before she took over and it happened to her administration, I understand there was one staffer who used a St. Louis City Public Schools credit card to pay for maybe tuition, but certainly studying to take the bar exam in California. This is how far the abuse went of public tax dollars, and it would be perfectly normal, Kim, and certainly for Steve Butts to demand an investigation. Everybody on city council ought to be standing up demanding an investigation.
I agree.
Yeah, so that report's out there, and I don't know. I don't know how that situation ever gets any better with the current leadership in the city. I just don't. And what are they going to say next? Well, maybe we should merge the city schools with somebody else. No, maybe you should give parents choice. Because the only thing that the teachers' unions and the educators there understand is competition. They're all in competition for the federal dollars that come into a school district. And when the population starts going away, fewer dollars come in. And competition would drive that.
By the way, my sister sent a text earlier this month, and she said, I just went to a meeting about redirecting up to 50% of our state income taxes to scholarships for private schools. I didn't know that was an option. Did you?
No.
I'm not sure how to do it. I don't know that she is either aware of how you do this. But the fact that is supposedly a thing, that's very interesting to me.
Well, it's a false flag argument to say that giving federal tax dollars or local state tax dollars to a school that happens to be parochial or Christian or secular for that matter, is somehow violating the separation of church and state. It's not a, you're not establishing a religion. You're giving people freedom of choice to spend their tax dollars, which you have basically legally confiscated from them, in a way they would prefer instead of the way you would prefer.
And I can't emphasize enough, this whole notion of separation of church and state is to keep the government out of church, out of religion, not the other way around.
It's just not a thing. What are you whimming about here, Kim?
Have we not all been hearing about all these food recalls? It seems like every single day we're talking about a new case of E. coli, Listeria, some food product that's been recalled. What is going on with all of that? Should we be concerned?
Yeah, probably. Makes my stomach hurt. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
If you feel like you're constantly hearing about different food items being recalled, new cases of Listeria, E. coli, you're not crazy. There is actually a rise in the number of those cases. So the Food and Drug Administration, which would cover all of this, they are actually recalling more items this year than in past years. So close to 2,000 products were recalled in the fiscal year that ended in September, and that's the highest since 2019. Keep in mind, this does include food and cosmetic products because there's chemicals in all of it, and Lord knows what's actually in some of these things that we're eating and putting on our face. But the question is, why are all of these items being recalled so often? Is it a lack of regulation? Are these companies, these manufacturers, being a little bit more lax about things? And then that's the reason why we're seeing all these E. coli outbreaks? Because, heck, we've seen so many of them even here in the St. Louis area.
Yeah, and I've always wondered if it's, I mean, at the restaurant level, they're limited on their supply options, right? I mean, there are probably several major supply routes and options, particularly in the winter, to get certain vegetables. The only safeguard you have is just to adopt the Carl Middleman diet.
Don't eat any vegetables.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, just avoid them.
But the problem is, one of these experts I was listening to was talking about how a lot of these items that are being recalled are the microwavable, the pre-packaged dinner that you're scrambling at the end of the day. You don't feel like cooking, and so you go and grab one of those freezer items.
Garbage pizza, as my wife calls it.
Or that, all right.
Yeah, but, you know, again, there, at least if it's been frozen, you have a better chance that you've killed whatever's in it. It's the fresh stuff you have to worry about.
Well, you hear a lot about the lettuce, like the catering company that is taking a lot of heat right now because supposedly a lot of E. coli cases in the Rockwood School District stemmed from the lettuce.
Yeah.
But then you had the situation in the Metro East not that long ago, one restaurant where, I mean, dozens and dozens of people, now they're suing, were hospitalized because of E. coli.
True.
That's what I wonder. So I was curious. I was doing some digging on this yesterday, and I found this report from Business Insider on why this woman in particular, this reporter, thinks we're seeing more food recalls.
First off, the origin point of our food supply chain has gotten farther and farther away. In fact, roughly 3/4 of our fruits and nearly half our vegetables are expected to come from outside the U.S. by 2027. This makes it harder for companies to trace contaminants because they often don't know the exact source of the food. We also have to consider that production operations are getting bigger. Mega factory farms house hundreds of thousands and sometimes even millions of birds. And the U.S. is farming nearly twice as many animals for food as it did 35 years ago. The more animals you have in a facility, the more likely it is for them to spread disease.
Yeah, I think those are good points, but I don't think that's necessarily the entire picture, reason why we're seeing so many food recalls. Some Politico investigation, I don't love Politico, but this investigation found food regulations just not a high enough priority for the FDA because that department also overlooks drugs and medical products. And so the food division, they're saying, is understaffed and underfunded. They're just not allocating enough resources to be able to monitor these manufacturers, these plants, like they should be.
But a lot of it's not domestic is the problem. And you don't have OSHA and some of the standards you have in some of the foreign countries where we source this stuff.
Well, and that was what you heard the Business Insider talking about, yes. Is a lot of these products, particularly the fruits and veggies, are coming from outside countries where maybe they don't have the regulations. But once it came to the United States, there has to be something in place where they would verify that they're okay for us to eat. It's not just like you take it straight from Mexico and you're like, oh, here you go. Pop it into your local supermarket.
I don't know what those are. I don't know what those standards are. I don't know. Do they randomly take 12 pieces of lettuce out of each bag and test it?
Well, there is some sort of testing because I was reading about, I think it's maybe twice a year or something like that, these manufacturers are tested, the food, the items there to make sure that they're safe. But really, it's not enough. So a lot of it is dependent on people like you and me going to the grocery store and we spot something very questionable, like bugs or pieces of plastic that have been found in food items, and you report it.
Yeah.
And then once the federal government, in this case the FDA, investigates, if they find there's enough of a concern, they'll say, yeah, you should recall it. And a lot of these companies will then voluntarily recall it because it's actually less costly for them to pull thousands of these items from store shelves and rather than the federal government stepping in and mandating that they do it. And also, you deal with lawsuits, right?
Right.
That's very costly, and in some cases, they've bankrupt companies.
Maurice on Facebook is suggesting that people are doing it on purpose, the farm workers of America, because out of fear that they're going to be deported. Wouldn't that get you deported faster? If you'd be out of a job if you did that on purpose.
I would hope so.
That makes no sense to me at all.
The people who have dealt with E. coli would probably want you deported very quickly because it does not. I've had food poisoning. It is not fun. Have you had it?
I have had it in the past. There's still foods to this day that I can't eat because I connected to the time I got sick. One of them was I was in Florida, went out to eat with my family. It's when I was probably 15 or 16 years old. And they had crab cakes was the special, like in the shell. Like they were cooking had mixed it up and stuck it back in the shell and baked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they got a bad batch of seafood. And to this day, I can't eat a crab cake without thinking about that. Oh. It's just one of those things that once it hits you, you don't ever want to. You just can't shake it from your memory. I feel so bad for the people that have been impacted by it. But you're right. There's an uptick in it, and they've got to figure out where that's coming from.
I think some of it's that the federal government has been more lax on it.
Well, Donald Trump's going to make the food supply great again.
I hope so. With RFK Jr. at the helm over HHS, I feel confident that there are going to be some serious just companies being held accountable.
Yeah, I think,
a better system of checks and balances. A lot of these dyes and chemicals hopefully taken out, just like that lawsuit we saw, the big push to get Kellogg's to take it out, the red dye. I mean, there's a bunch of dyes and stuff in all of our food. But this one woman in particular was comparing the Fruit Loops in the United States with all the colors and dyes and such to make the colors very vibrant in comparison to what they look like in, say, Europe. And it's very different. And you just have to wonder, why do we need our Fruit Loops or any other food item to be vibrantly colored? I would be okay with a dull colored Fruit Loop if it meant there weren't chemicals in there.
I love Fruit Loops.
Just look how the word fruit is spelled.
It's real fruit, Carl.
Froot. That's not real at all.
You think the lawyers did that?
Fruit by the foot, that's real fruit.
Sure.
I'm kidding.
All right, we're back. We're coming back. We're going to talk to Beavis Shock about who's right and who's wrong in the county prosecutor case.
Get more at 971talk.com.